welcome to episode 26 of Case in Point. This is your host, Justin Case. I am doing this prologue intro, if you will, because we had some audio issues. I would just like to explain that going forward, there's going to be a little bit of clipping and distortion because we had some difficulties. So just want to let you guys know going forward, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you. Well, guys, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to dig a little bit into the past of Jody and I. Go back probably about, what, now it's not quite 18 years, but
pretty close.
And we worked together, actually, after high school. Well, actually, in this case, it's probably, well after high school. We worked
about
at
a year.
About a year.
Let me see, we graduated in 99. About a year after we graduated. And we're getting into our origins here. This is an episode we have been threatening, that's the word I'm throwing out there. We've been threatening this, since the first episode, I think?
Yeah,
we've mentioned it a bunch of times, but we're doing it.
Yeah, we're finally taking the plunge.
It's been requested. People, at least one guy does. People want it. I think a couple people do. People want to hear it, and we're doing it. We're getting into the oral history of Justin and Jody, chapter two, because I think we already had a chapter one.
Sure wasn't like a prologue.
Picture it. What was it? Like April 2000?
No. I didn't get hired on until July. 4th of July, actually, was my first day of work.
Oh, I started in April.
Yeah, you had a few months on me.
We're talking about Cracker Barrel.
Talking about Cracker Barrel.
Now, before either of us got hired at Cracker Barrel, you might remember, we really pounded the pavement trying to find jobs while we graduated high school in 99. We're in college, but we're trying to find some
cash,
low level jobs. We've got CDs to buy and DVDs to buy, really important stuff. We've got Pepsi One to drink. We've got needs. Might need $20 to fill our gas tank. So we gotta have money in our pockets.
Well, you know, and that was the, like, FYE was the big deal, and MP3s were not out yet. They were out, but we didn't have MP3 players. This was
shy of Napster. Napster was coming, but at this point, it was like to spend $20 on a CD was the norm.
Yeah, I really got exactly, and it was like this was our first gig where we were working like long hours, getting paid the hundreds of dollars because they'd pay us every 2 weeks. So we have a nice clip.
Once a week.
Was it once a week? Oh,
yep,
wow.
Yep, every Thursday between 2 and 4. Come on in. Check your schedule. Be disappointed.
And they'd be sitting at the non-smoking section in the third dining room at the big round table. Come in and collect your check. There was no direct deposit.
No.
I think my first week I worked there, I had worked like crazy hours, like 36 hours. I was working 12-hour shifts because it was hot and heavy in summertime.
First week.
And I went out and I bought, like, hey, I could buy that Dio Strange Highway CD I've always wanted. So I can listen to Hollywood Black on the way to work, you know?
Oh, boy. Now, before we get into that portion of it, you and I we really pounded the pavement putting in applications, you might remember?
Oh, boy.
Places.
What a dog show.
We went to JCPenney's, I remember, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we were like Lloyd Christmas and what's the other guy's
Neil
name
Pitt?
For Dumb and Dumber?
Oh, gosh darn it. You had to ask me that. Harry.
Harry. Yeah.
And it was kind of like that, and it was...
We should not have gone to turning these applications together.
I think we were being toyed with, Jody.
You maintained that for many years. No, but we should have gone in separate. It probably looked better. It'd be like, well, we're not hiring these two clowns. Maybe we take one of them. We're not taking both. It was like a tag team. Like we don't need you guys. We have enough talent.
Yeah, they don't play that.
So I remember going to JCPenney's, and yeah, it was very, very highbrow there. You had to fill out the application on a computer. You might remember.
Yeah, we sat in the break room, and these two ladies... I'll be nice. These two ladies were eating microwave popcorn on their smoke break. And you could smoke in the buildings at that point. New York State had not yet made smoking illegal inside the buildings. And that was to come like a few years later. And so they're sitting there smoking cigarettes, eating like microwave popcorn, like that cheap Pop Rite stuff. And
Pop Rite!
Early Act 2. Act 2, that was the name of it.
She's eating, like third-rate popcorn.
Yeah, eating like Act 2 Butter Lovers, you know. And we're sitting at this really crappy computer trying to fill out an application. And we won't say any names, but we saw some former high school alumni on the wall who was Employee of the Month. And I remember you and I were thinking, telling each other, this guy got Employee of the Month? We're a shoo-in for this job. Yeah, we didn't hear anything back.
Of course we weren't. Not even a, you know, not at this time. No calls.
Yeah, so our next attempt, I believe, was Walmart. And at this point, a few months had passed, and it was in the middle of the wintertime. And I remember you showed up at my house, Jody, because this guy says, "All right, guys, what you going to do? Come back tomorrow, 5 a.m. Everyone's just going to come in. Anyone who's at the door, we're going to bring them in. We're going to have orientation. We'll get you, you know, we'll get you trained, tell you where you're going to be working." So we're like, "Oh, this is great. We're going to go in there, and these guys are going to hook us up." So the next day, Jody shows up at my house at like 4:30 in the morning. And it's like 45 degrees and windy and just gross outside. And you were wearing this dark teal winter jacket you used to wear. And you showed up at my house. You go, "Yeah, it's a balmy 45 degrees. And we go and we get in your Pontiac 6000 and we go up there. And you and I go up to the doors, the sliding doors at Walmart. And we saw cars in the parking lot, and we're like, "Okay, this means we're early, and they'll just, well, you know," we knocked on the glass of the window or the doors, and nobody showed up. We're like, "What is the deal?" I think we stood there for like 10 minutes, and you said, "This is a total bust." Like that, it was so funny. It's so funny. And you and I were so mad because we got up this early in the morning for this. This is a joke. You know,
I don't even remember this, so I'm liking this story because I don't.
We were mad.
This at all.
You and I were highly ticked off, and it was still dark out. I mean, it was only like 5 a.m. We stood there for like 10 minutes, and I said, "Dude, we got the shaft. These guys are playing with us." And you and I, you dropped me off at home, and then like you went back, and I think you and I, we both, you know, went our separate ways for a few hours and got some more sleep. And I remember being very ticked off. I'm like, you dragging me out in this kind of weather, and because there was like,
it was my fault.
No. I mean Walmart.
I see.
They told us to be there, and they did. They totally gave us a shaft. They totally lied to our faces.
And so, we never shopped there again.
Yeah.
And they soon went out of business.
Yeah, we were keeping the doors open, and so our next attempt, I believe, was Ames, which is now defunct.
And, I don't remember this either.
Okay.
Go on.
Okay. So we went into Ames, and there was some lady who clearly had a chip on her shoulder. And the moment we asked for job applications, her mood totally changed. And she realized we're like competition. And she's like, "Well, we're not like hiring right now, but like here's some applications, and you fill them out and just leave them on the front desk, and I'll make sure they get to HR." And this lady, and she's wearing like the teal Ames vest.
The smock.
And it smelled like old corn chips, cheap laundry soap. And they had a bench in the center of the store in case people got winded. And it was just a dumpy store. And it was a mere shell of what Hills was. Hills was awesome. And clearly when, by this time, that store was picked over and everything, and I bought
that. This was a nicer Ames, but it wasn't. It had taken over the Hills location.
It was
a nicer Ames.
It was as nice as Ames could get.
As nice as Ames. That's a very good synopsis. It was as nice as Ames could get.
Because it was a new, they had remodeled everything because they had just, like you said, acquired the store from Hills. So they put new drop ceiling in and got rid of the yellow floor. See, probably that smell was all the adhesive from the tile they just laid.
Right. All the fixtures were nice, but it was just the same old cheap Jordache sneakers and Rustler jeans.
And, like, Sassoon polyester shirts. You know, something you see in a Cosmopolitan ad from the early 80s. And the only reason I know that is because my sister had the magazines.
All the quote-unquote top brands like Rustler and Lee and Jordache.
Yeah, those nice dark blue jeans that have the orange string. Yeah, those bad boys.
Yep.
Yeah, but at any rate, so at that point, Jody and I kind of went, like, we started looking for jobs separately.
Well, you might remember we had one more stop that I can remember. We went to Kmart. We've already been to all the other retailers, so we went to Kmart.
Oh, we did, and they were doing a remodel, and they said,
well,
hey.
Well, we went up to the service.
They were going to hire us for just the weekend, or like a couple weeks, right?
No, well, we go up to the service desk.
See, I don't even remember this.
Oh, we used to talk about this one all the time.
Huh.
So we go up to the service desk, and we ask them. We say, you know, we'd like to fill out an application. We'd like a job interview. And they said, okay, we'll come back on Wednesday. I said, all right. Thank you. And we left. And as we go out in the vestibule where, like, the claw machines and stickers and stuff are. And I go out there. I go, Justin. I go, what day did they say to come back? I go, Wednesday.
What day is today?
Yeah. Wednesday, you go, let's go.
That's right. Those,
so we left.
Those friggin' dingleberries.
You tell that story all the time.
That's right. What day is today? Yeah. Okay.
Wednesday. Oh. And you know what? That Kmart just closed within the last 6 months. So.
Good riddance.
You know what? That's far. If they, we'd be running the place, and I'm sure we could have turned the entire company around.
Yeah, we were a threat. That's why they didn't hire us.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We revamped that layaway system.
So, like you said, like that would be like going back to the future. Like, you go into this alternate timeline where Kmart, like, is on top of the Kmart best in online sales for a 10th year straight. It's just like Time Man of the Year, Jody Earden, Kmart CEO. Will his stock ever stop rising?
Yeah, and as in coconuts is still a thing. It's so terrible. But at any rate, yeah, I remember that. That was just garbage. What a jeez wheeze.
So, like you said, we ended up splitting up. Splitting up, and do you remember putting in any applications any other places?
Oh, yeah. There was an audio place that was near, it was like across the way from Walmart, and it was an audio place for like car stereos and stuff. And
yep.
I don't remember the name of it, but
Rex.
I.
It was Rex Appliances.
Oh, jeez. Is that place gone?
Oh, yeah. Long gone.
So we're a curse upon these stores. They're out of business. Yeah. But I put an application there, and they actually called me for an interview, but I had already gotten a job at, like, CVS, and I pretty much, like, told, because, like, when it rains, it pours, right? And I just got hired on, and they called me for an interview, and so that was it. And then after that, I went and worked at Cracker Barrel. I got an interview at Cracker Barrel. Oh, no, I worked at Sanctuary Comics, which you guys can listen to in the archives. It's a two-parter.
Yep.
And go check that out.
I ended up having a...
Comic Sanctuary is the name of the episode, everybody.
I had an interview, I think, at a Sam's Club, and I remember putting in an application for Taco Bell, but I was not Taco Bell material. I was
not even to run Flagship Falls, huh?
No, not at that time. So we split up, and I had a brief stint as a Cutco knife salesman. A two-day stint. I remember going to this. Let me tell this story real quick.
Sure. So no, please do.
It was so second rate. It was above this place here in town called Public Square. It was a office in Public Square, which is it's a lot less grandiose than it sounds. And it was this Cutco knife place. And I remember sitting in. They took you in for interviews to see if you were quote unquote cut out to be a knife salesman.
Oh, jeez.
And I remember sitting in the lobby and looking around. There was like six of us, I think, in the lobby that were trying to get this, you know, plum job being a door-to-door knife salesman. And I look around like I am wearing like a suit jacket and a tie. I am totally overdressed for this job. And I remember looking around, there was a guy in like a Dallas Cowboys starter jacket and jeans and probably like Voight sneakers, like really not. I was feeling pretty good as I looked around. And as it went, they took me in. So orientation started the next day, and I think I went to 2 or 3 hour orientation. They're talking it up, and I was not real sold on becoming a knife salesman in the first place. And like, oh, you know, you just have to make an appointment, and if you make an appointment, and then this person recommends you to this person. These were like $400, $500, $600 knife sets, and I just thought to myself, I don't know one person that would buy these. Maybe a relative, maybe an aunt or a grandmother out of like a pity buy. But other than that, I don't know anybody who's going to spend $600 in steak knives.
That's ridiculous.
Well, so I go to the orientation, and about 2 hours into it, we're breaking for lunch, and they tell you right before lunch that you need to put down a $150 deposit on your show knives, that you're taking, you're keeping in a briefcase and taking from house to house. And I remember thinking at the time, $150 might as well have been $150,000 because I didn't have anything even close to that. I didn't have a job. Right. I didn't have any job. And I'm like, $150? I don't have that kind of money. And so we broke for lunch, and I never went back.
Oh, blame you.
I walked probably 10 blocks to my aunt's house, and I didn't have a car or anything at the time, and they're like, hey, what happened? How was your job interview? I said, oh, we broke for lunch, and I never went back. $150 deposit? Oh, what am I, a Rockefeller? I don't have that kind of money. So,
they garnish your sales wages.
Yeah, that was the end of that. They said you could rent them, or you could buy your own and keep them when you were done selling, but I knew that looked like quite a racket, and I remember going to apply. It was not long after that, I answered some kind of classified ad, and it ended up being, it was for Aerolux, I think, salesman. I followed the address. It was, you know, it's a bad classified ad when they won't tell you what the interview is for until you get there. And that's what this was. And I pulled in the plaza and saw it was to be a vacuum cleaner salesman. I was like, no, that's not going to work either. So long story long, I put in an application for Cracker Barrel, and they were incredibly desperate going into Easter weekend. They had 6 dishwashers. You feasibly need about 10 or 12, and they were literally, as long as you had 4 limbs, even if I think if you probably had 3 limbs at this point and a pulse, they would have taken you. So they took me, and it was quite an eye-opening. I think I worked 12 hours that first weekend, and not ever having a real job and never being a very ambitious lad up until that point, I was about ready to pass out at the end of it. I did not know the meaning of hard labor until I got that job and stuck it out through the summer. And as you say, 4th of July weekend, I somehow suckered you into joining as well.
Well, because prior to that, you had your PlayStation Baseball Winter League. You had to get through that first.
That was a great game.
Yeah, I could tell. It is really funny because I remember the job interview for that was pretty much a shoe-in. And when I got my first day working there, you were not on shift. I was working in the dish room.
In the morning, right?
It was in the morning. Yes, it
was. I was probably at.
It was a mid shift. They wanted to bring in gently, so I think I worked a 4-hour shift from 10 to 2, and it was a mid shift, like a midday shift, and so I remember my first. The first thing I did was I started gagging because I'm touching food that I'm touching these nasty dishes, and there's this like disgusting
it's a
smell.
Reality check.
Yeah, it's
paw through people's half-eaten burgers and like wet butt. It's everybody's leftover ice and soda and coffee. Like that's half. They put all the dishes in what you'd call a bus tub with all the
it's
dirty.
It's smell of 1,000 meals in that bus tub.
That was what I. That's what I called it. The smell of 1,000 meals.
And right.
That's what it was. Dirty
Hobart stew. Hobart
ketchup
stew.
And
yeah.
Ice water and half-eaten sandwiches and pancakes.
And yeah, I remember seeing pancakes. That smell is Dude, remember when I got those pancakes and I had that hardened yellow jacket on top? Someone had taken a yellow jacket corpse off of the windowsill, probably one of the dining rooms, and put it on the pancakes so they have to pay for the pancakes because they didn't want to have to pay for them. And obviously that was fake. They would not have sent that out of the kitchen like that.
I don't think that would have passed the eye test.
No, so someone did it to get out of paying for a pancake breakfast is what they did. And so it was very deliberately placed on there. And I'm like, what a joke. But no, I remember my first reaction was to throw up. And then I managed to somehow turn it off in my mind that it's disgusting. And I got over that initial gag reflex the first, 30 seconds of my job, and then I started working. It was pretty much okay after that. And, I think the next time my next shift, I actually worked with you. And I'm telling you, we worked some crazy dinner time shifts. I mean, it was nuts. And it was just like, you remember when the dish room flooded because it was full of just gross, disgusting bacteria.
Yeah. The drainage system on the floor would get backed. There was a filter in it, and it would get backed up from just crap.
Yeah, they brought in like a Roto-Rooter guy to come in here and take and auger the thing out, and I said it's like Noah's Ark back there. I mean, it was like the flood. You know, you were standing in like 3 inches of water, and when you think. It was disgusting dishwater.
You'd be standing in 3 inches of water. I was never in Vietnam, but to be standing, it's standing in 3 inches of water, smelling decaying decaying substances. I won't say it was Vietnam, but it was our own personal Vietnam.
Yeah. It was nuts, and because we had like American holidays and Canadian holidays, and with those two, because we grew up, we worked 30 miles from the border, and so they'd have like Victoria Day or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was the Canadian holiday that was a big deal to them. That was just a Monday here in the States, so it was always understaffed, and you would get rocked.
Like whole tour buses full of people.
They still get rocked, and I would get so frustrated and go, you know, listen, I'm not a manager here. This is when I haven't worked there in a few years, but I would just be flummoxed every year and go, I could have told you we'd be busy today. You run the place. How do you not know that?
Yeah, I haven't worked there in 16 years. It's been a while for me, but it was like, I doubt consumer traffic has changed.
No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. We get a lot of Canadian traffic in this neck of the woods anyways, and when it's a holiday like that for them, that's just, you know, it's during the summer, it's not like a Christmas or anything, but it's a day for them to have off, then they come and spend it with us here on the American side.
Yeah, how thoughtful. But what would happen is whenever it would rain outside in the summertime, it was, or the, like, when it would rain, people would be out doing fun summer things, and they would come in and want to eat. And
yeah,
we would get destroyed.
Would kill any kind of outdoor cookouts or anything anybody had planned. And they're like, well, let's go eat a country fried steak instead. And it was, it would really stink when it would have to rain.
Yeah,
it would rain. Yeah. And on top of that, you'd have to do things like a trash run and take that out. And
you get pickle juice all over your pants.
Oh, yeah. That would on a plus day.
Yeah, remember we found all those hot balls from the gift shop?
Were they in a broken jar?
They were in a broken jar. And I'm like, hey, there's nothing wrong with these. I packed them all up.
He's so packing his pockets full of.
I go, there's like $35 worth of hot balls here. I'm taking these home.
That'd be like a garbage bag full.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. And I had those babies for a while. And it was like the Farrapan hot balls, the good stuff. And so, like, anybody cares what brand it is?
No, that's the only brand. I think it's the only brand that they make. But
the Atomic Fireballs, yeah.
Yes, it's certainly the only one worth talking about.
Exactly. And
so we really worked with a very, you know, one thing, if people listening to this, if they've ever worked in a restaurant, then they know that you work with a very eclectic cast of characters.
Oh, boy.
Well, imagine working in the bowels of the restaurant, working in the dish room. People who work in the dish room are, you're really working with the eclectic of the eclectic, so to speak.
Yeah, we'll be nice about it.
We'll be nice about it. Now, at the time, at this Cracker Barrel, we made, we started out at, a robust $6 an hour, which was almost a dollar above minimum wage.
I think it was $6.15 or something like that.
After a month, it was $6.15. I think they start you out at $5.85 or $6. But it was
Yeah.
It was a good wage. It was above minimum
wage. It was actually more than any other restaurant in the area.
Right. Which was nice, which meant, boy, hey, I make more here than any other place. So, and they could actually be kind of choosy with who they hired, and they would kind of screen them a little bit better because they're paying more, so, you know, it was a more desirable job. They could screen it a little bit better. But even then, being a dish room, you still got some rather eclectic folks.
Yeah, it was and when Jody says that, these people were not trustworthy as far as showing up for their shift. And a lot of times you ended up working a 16-hour shift because you, like in my case, Jody never had to do truck. I don't think you ever had to do truck. But they ended up putting me on the truck shift, which was 9 hours. It was 5 to 2. And
now, is this the retail truck? Because Cracker Barrel
No,
has
this is the
side.
Freezer. This is the freezer truck.
Okay.
Freezer okay. And cooler. So I would get up at 5 to 2. Must be they liked me or something. So they gave me these extra shifts. And I worked those regularly. And I had this one instance where I worked my 5 to 2 shift. And then someone didn't show up. And then they called another person to replace the person that didn't show up. And I was about ready to finish my shift. I was doing my last bust tub of dishes, putting a glass in the dish rack. I had ketchup on my hand, and the cup slipped out of my hands, shattered on the metal work area that we had to move the stuff along to put on the racks and get in the dish machine. Slipped out of my hand, hit one of my coworkers in the hand just right, and he had to go to the hospital. I mean, it was bad. And I ended up staying. They begged me to stay in clothes. So I worked a crazy shift. I worked from 5 a.m.
Yeah, it ends up being about an 18-hour day.
Yeah, that was intense. Because the people they were all new people that they had brought into work in the dish room had no idea what they were doing. They were all brand new people. They started getting scared because they're like, when are we going to get out of here? If this guy doesn't stay, we're never going to get home. Because at that point, I'd been working there for a while, and I was pretty fast, you know. And so that was intense. But some of the funnier stuff that happened.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us about your first day, which I'm sure you've told on this show, but it bears repeating. I'm sure you've told it in a previous episode, but it's please tell us again.
Yeah. So we had an incident where I'm sitting there working in the corner, spraying something down, and this gal had come in with a bus tub from the dining room, and she slams a bus tub down really quick. Next thing I know, she's vomiting projectile out of her mouth and spinning in circles like the Exorcist. And there's vomit all over in the dish room. Ha! Ha! So the manager comes around the corner.
And then she did, you said it, she threw up so much. She was like, I know the way you always told the story is that it looked like a boot came out of her because she was throwing up so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was intense. It was like, yeah, it was bad. I remember it can't pluck out your mind's eye. And I had to hose down the floor and stuff where the drain was. And it was all over everything. And the manager comes around and he goes, and I won't say exactly who it was, but he goes, "Huh, you didn't tell me you were sick," like that. And so she got sent home, and I ended up having to stay a few extra hours, and I pretty much didn't know if I was going to keep working there, because I'm like, this place is nuts. These people are crazy. just because these weird freak things would happen there. It was just like the underbelly of society. And it was like, I won't go any further than that. We'll talk about this off the show. But it was like, there was people that were, like Jody said, they were very eccentric, but in a very sad and trashy way. And it was the kind of thing where, like, a bus tub would come in, and these people, Jody was here for this. We cut to this one individual. She was eating out of the bus tub. Hey, you want some fries?
Yes, it was a Sunday morning, and it was probably, I don't know, 11:30, 12 o'clock, and I'm hosing down plates and pans, and I look over. This girl was in charge of unloading the bus tub, so that means throwing away the food and kind of sorting out plates and glasses, things like that. And I look over, and she goes, "Hey!" And her entire head was shaved.
The Sinead O'Connor thing going on.
And her entire head was shaved except for two pigtails.
And it was, and she really was an attractive gal. I mean, she
was. I was going to say, you know what? I didn't mind it so much. It was just weird enough to make me pause and go,
It kind of reminded me like the Elia chick from Star Trek the Motion Picture, where she her head shaved. You know, it's kind of funny.
I always likened her to a, you won't know this name, but a Feyora Balk, who was a late 90s actress. But her entire head was shaved except for two pigtails. And I'm spraying down these dishes, and I look over, and she starts eating fries.
Oh!
She starts eating
and
these
the apples.
Fries.
She ate those fried apples with her bare hands.
Well, and these fries are wet. They've got
They've already
been
cooked
through.
So
they
gross.
They are wet.
Oh, I'm gagging right now just thinking about it. Oh, this is so bad.
Spilled them, and I think further, even more so than that. Her hands have pawed through all sorts of other garbage to get to these.
Oh, my gosh.
And she pulls out the fries, and she starts eating. She goes, "Oh, hey, fries."
I remember, yes.
I'd never seen anything like that. It happens. There are people out there that are not very well off. But at this point, I had never seen anything like this. Yeah. And if anything, I just thought, like, if you're going to... It's one thing to eat that stuff, but if you're going to eat it, go wash your hands. They literally have been in the trash. And I looked over, and she goes, "Oh, wow, fries. Hey, you want some?"
I remember the inflection of her voice. I remember your reaction was great. No.
I said, no. And
yeah.
She goes, "Oh, you probably ate breakfast before you came, huh?" And she dug right into them.
Oh.
And, I still thought she was attractive, but that was... You know, when you see a girl eating trash, the allure has been lost.
Exactly. Remember, she lived in that house full of cats. And that house looked like it should have been condemned.
A quick sidebar. I went to a house party not long after that where she was there, and her boyfriend came, and her boyfriend had the most excruciating breath I've ever smelled in my life.
Oh.
It literally cleared a room. So everybody was hanging out in the kitchen, and he came in, and his breath was so bad that everybody
went
to the living.
How was
that
turd sandwich? Yeah.
Everybody went to the living room. He follows to the living room and
cleared the whole
cleared
place
out that room, and everybody went back in the kitchen. It stunk up the entire room. Yeah,
nice.
He didn't only eat a turd sandwich. He didn't even pick his teeth. It was still in there. It was real bad, but. Yeah, those French fries were a hot commodity. We had another guy that used to work back there.
Remember.
Oh, man.
No man fries?
Oh, man fries?
Yeah.
And this guy was an old crackhead. I'm pretty sure he was And he found those fries were a hot commodity. He took those fries out and set them on top
little
of the
bony guy.
Little bony guy. He took him out, and he was kind of like Ricky Henderson.
Or no, more like Otis Nixon.
Yeah, I can see that. He was an Otis Nixon fellow.
Yeah.
And he took them out. And
nice guy, though.
Really nice guy. He set him on top of the dish machine, and he had a snack on him the rest of the night. And that dish machine is not a place where you want to keep
so
food.
Bad.
The steam from the dish machine.
Homer stew, baby.
soggy and wet with, like, it's just, it's not an ideal place, but he didn't mind.
Well, he remember the same guy, you and I were closing, and the grill would take the food and put it on that rack on the outside around the corner, and they would just leave it there in case they got some people in. They would just leave it there, but you couldn't touch it because they might still need it, right? They would just kind of put it there so to make room to clean off all the grills and clean all the area, but they weren't done with it, but to get a jump start on closing, right? And he grabs that food, and he's got the serving spoon with the mac and cheese. He starts eating it, and you hear the head manager call out of the office. He didn't see what this guy was doing. He goes, "Hey, don't throw that out yet," like that. And he's eating it.
He's already
eating it. He's using the grill line serving spoon, and he gives me this look like, "Oh my God, I'm dead. I'm so dead."
They had to count it. They had to see what their food waste was for the night. And he's like, "Don't throw it out. I haven't looked at the waste yet."
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, like,
this guy's got an entire mouthful of macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, so he ended up just putting the serving spoon back in there, putting it back on the rack like it hadn't been touched. And it was crazy. And, like, is that kind of stuff. And, like,
and one important thing to note was, like, at this restaurant, and at all the locations, we were not allowed to eat the food. It was very much frowned upon.
It was a liability, and you couldn't, like, donate it.
You could save, right. And everything else goes in the trash at the end of the night. Or, yeah. If you're going to eat it discreetly.
People would do that.
Which was the camp that everybody who worked there was in. Like, oh, I'm going to eat it once you're out of eyesight and, you know, taking the cashier's register down. I'm going to eat like nobody's business.
Do you remember the one guy, the tall guy with the curly black hair and glasses? Yeah. Remember? He had a pan full of mac and cheese. And he took and he divided it. And without skipping a beat, he took two forks. Here you go.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. It was the best.
I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, remember the other guy? Remember the Highlander guy? He would actually take food, and he would just leave it up on the dish rack next to where, like, all the silverware went, and he'd eat on it as he's working.
Some folks were more discreet about it than others. Some folks were like, "I can go get another $6 job someplace else. Don't worry about it." I was very discreet whenever I did that. But, yeah, that guy had no shame about it. We'll get back to him.
He'd save all the silverware and not wash it.
I mean, a pan of macaroni and cheese had about, I don't know, 15 or 20 servings in it. I remember one night I got stuck back in the dish room by myself because it was busy. Somebody quit. Somebody called in. I got stuck there by myself, and somebody sent back a pan of macaroni and cheese. I ate half a pan of macaroni and cheese by myself. It would have been like 3,000 calories. It was so bad, and I'm sure he had excruciating gas the rest of the night, but...
I had a six-pack after work. No, I didn't drink it on the job. I'm saying I physically had a six-pack after working because I sweat it all off.
It's a real shock to the system when you start. I lost 20 pounds, I think, like the first month.
I was in really good shape. I thought I was when I started, and then after that, I was like, holy crap, I got a six-pack again. This is fantastic. It's like having like a freaking mud wrap, and you're getting paid. You know, it would get so hot back there and so humid, but you'd sweat it off. And you could remember Baker's Dozen now.
Yeah, this is what Justin was a bit of a health nut at the time. And all he would eat were these biscuits that he thought were good for him. And then he found out later on, how many grams? Wasn't it like 13 grams of fat per biscuit?
Yeah, because it was
like
pure
that?
Shortening. Yeah.
And you'd eat 13 of them at a. Plus honey.
Well, I wouldn't eat them all in a sitting. I'd just get them because it's more economy. And
you'd still eat like six. It was.
Oh, I'd eat half of them.
That was your lunch, but it was not good for you.
Yeah, and it was like, but it didn't affect me because I was working, burning so many calories, and it was hard work. I mean, you're the nucleus. I mean, without that position, the whole restaurant would run out of silverware and dishes, and then you don't serve anybody and you lose money. So it's probably the most important part of the restaurant to work in, and from a supply standpoint. But no, it was, I remember you and I worked back there, And they had had various people try to fill an open spot in the backup cook area. And there was this lady in that came in, and she wore so much mascara that she was getting sweating and getting stressed out. It started to run down her face. She looked like Gene Simmons.
Or Alice Cooper, probably.
Or Alice Cooper, yeah, exactly.
More accurately.
Yeah, it would run down her face. And she's like, oh, I can't do it. I can't do this. Like, she's shaking and getting all, like, freaked out. She had to work with that guy. She had to work with the older guy there that thought he was the best cook to ever cook anything.
Yeah, that's the one thing about working in a restaurant. There's always a lot of bravado. Everybody's the best.
Yeah, and the same lady that would that vomited Exorcist style in the dish room was very bitter because Jody and I got cook jobs only after being there, what, like 6 months or 8 months or something like that. We got cook jobs. She's like, those should be mine. And because they had given her a shot and she didn't make the cut. And so she got stuck doing like bussing tables and stuff. And it was just funny because, like, I remember this one time they were cleaning the hoods out for the grills, and there's like these pipes, and so they hadn't been cleaned out since the store had opened, and all this mildew and mold came out of those pipes, and it went down through the backup area. It smelled so bad. I mean, we had to clear out. It smelled so disgusting. And there was another incident where there was like these blue flames shooting out from the grill. Because somebody...
that happened a lot. whoa. Yeah, it would shoot out the back of the grill. There was a bit of a, like, a vent back there. And sometimes it would... Yeah.
Okay,
we better take care of that before the hoods go off. And then that happened once where they had, like, a sprinkler system above the hood. And, I don't know, something flamed up back there. And the sprinkler system went off, and it's like a fire extinguisher sort of substance sprayed
all
over.
It's a Freon. It's a Freon, or it's a fire retardant that shoots out.
Right. Well, that happened once, and that stuff shot out. And guess what? That was it for business for that day.
It's all contaminated. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to close it down. And you are done for the day.
Oh yeah. So you ended up moving on grill. And I did prep for a while, but you and I would go back and do dish for a while. We have to bail those guys out because they were terrible.
You had to go back to dish quite a bit more than I did. I felt like you still had your foot in two worlds.
Yeah, it's the story of my life. Because I'm the kind of person, I'm a workhorse, and I don't say no to people. And that anywhere I've worked, they've always done it because I don't say no. I just get it done, you know.
Well, we had a lot of fun in that dish room, and I was just thinking, you mentioned that curly-haired gentleman earlier, and he was very notorious for telling tall tales at times.
Yeah, like his uncle owned 10% of McDonald's stock.
Or that he got kicked off a local riverboat tour for doing a cannonball off the top deck into the river. No, that didn't really happen. Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
No, no, it didn't.
It was like this Muppets Kermit. It was like this Muppets voice that he had.
He really did. He was a super guy and a super worker, but he was full of crap.
Oh, he was funny though. He was a lot of fun to work with, just from the stuff he would come up with.
Yes, he would just start sending stuff through the dish machine and not spray it. He sent a whole bus tub full with the plates and stuff.
Do experiments,
machine.
Yeah.
It came out with, like, boiling hot water, and the bus tub weighs, like, 75 pounds.
Well, yeah, it was like, remember we'd put stuff he was the one that was doing this. He would take, like, a wedge of cheese and just run it on a rack by itself to see if it would melt in a dish machine.
It's such a bad idea.
And then he would put an apple. Yeah, he'd put an apple on one of the pegs of the dish rack, run it by itself several times to see if it would fall apart. And then he'd, like, throw it on the floor against the wall to see if it would break easy or whatever, doing these endurance tests. And it was like him and this other guy, they were closing a dish room, and the pipe got stopped up. It got plugged up, and one of the gentlemen decided to put a dish rag around the pipe of the drain pipe and put his mouth around it to unplug said pipe.
This drain pipe has had millions, at that point, millions of gallons of dirty dishwater run through it, and countless, you name it, whatever goes into a dirty dish machine.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
One decided to put their, you know, they took a towel and wrapped it around the pipe and put their mouth on it.
It's like a white dish rag.
And the other one took the dish rag off and tried it. One of them did it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh,
oh yeah. One of them
and
the other one.
Jody, I can't. The other one did I can't talk.
Go, what are you doing? You can't do that. Don't put your mouth on there.
Oh my god!
Also, the curly haired gentleman, we had so much fun. I know we would get this like this cornbread mix, like it was at the end of the night. They'd send it back, and I remember one time we took it and splashed it on our face like it was I don't know, like a Zest commercial. Like they do that where they're washing their face with the soap. We smeared it all over our face.
It's like it's an exfoliating mask.
Yeah, it was so much fun. He would make a colossal mess. Oh, I'm back here making soup. And he just takes all the
you do it in his voice
and just throw it in a big just a big heap in the trash, so you'd have like gallons of soup and it just looked like an unholy mess simmering in this trash can. The trash can that weighed probably 150 pounds, and then you'd have to go out. Oh yeah, thanks for making this thing level at the top. Now you and I have to go take it and put this steaming trash can in the dumpster.
It was on those wheels, and you had to push it over the tile. And yes. I remember that dish, that can would get so heavy, and the plastic was really, it would get really flimsy because the can was so full. And
yeah,
remember, you had to push it from one end of the restaurant to the other.
Yeah.
Because it was a huge kitchen.
Those cans are not meant to handle, like, boiling hot carrots.
Yeah, it was very pliable. Yeah.
And then you'd pick up that can to dump it in the dumpster. Once you got it over the lip and you'd get dump it, it'd go, it'd make this disgusting wet sound. Splosh. And then you'd laugh.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Gross. Especially when it's like a cold winter day when it's like 10 below zero outside.
It's steaming. Yes.
Yeah. It's...
You'll remember the time that we were wheeling that, you know, one of those said bus tubs, or excuse me, trash cans to the dumpster, and it tipped over.
And we got grease on the cement, and the manager got really mad.
Well, it dipped over, and, you know, the one manager let her quit the expletive, which was funny, because, you know, and
he
got really mad. And so you know, that disgusting mess, instead of having it in the dumpster, you've got it all over the parking lot.
I guarantee you that if you went back there to this day, that stain is probably still there on the ramp. I guarantee you. And it was really funny. He was, like, so mad. He just... I mean, it was like you personally ruined like a brand new carpenter or a brand new floor in his personal home, is how he took it, and it was just really funny. And like sometimes we'd have to get two or three guys to lift some of those garbage cans up because they were so heavy and awkward.
Oh sure, well I say they literally weighed over 100 pounds. Like they were some of them were very heavy.
Well, and the thing was like, I mean, I was a pretty strong guy, you know.
Yeah,
and
the guy with the curly hair, he was an ox of a man, too.
Yeah.
These are not lightweights that are picking this stuff up.
Right, and then, you're a big guy, and it took three of us to get this thing up there.
Yeah.
You know, you're like 6'2", you know, he's probably your height, you got both big guys. And,
but you're wearing a back belt, so it's okay.
No threat of hernia.
Yeah, it means you're nice and safe because you're wearing some flimsy piece of back belt with a, you know, two pieces of plastic in it. That ought to absolve them of any sort of legal ramifications.
It's funny because it's kind of like to give you guys some perspective. Jody's like a tall wrestler type guy, like a big wrestler type guy. I'm built like
Bobby Eaton.
You're built. And I was more like a Taz Kevin Sullivan kind of guy, you know, and I was short, you know, and it was just funny because I cracked Jody's back. Remember you said your back hurt, and I cracked your back. Do you remember that? I picked you up off the floor.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and it was like, I probably shouldn't have done that because I'm glad I was wearing a back belt, but you were a pretty heavy guy. But it was like like I was going to put you in like a, what do you call those suplexes that Taz would do?
what, like a belly like a belly
it was
to
a
belly,
belly to
suplex?
Back yeah it was something like that and I you're like my back hurts so I'm like all right let me all right I'll pick you up like that I was like yeah I probably shouldn't have done it because now my back hurts
he just transferred it over to you
yeah
and, so this other guy so this oh I'm sorry you keep, you're, I thought you were
oh ready. No I was gonna oh, say go remember our knees would feel hyperextended after hours of standing on that wet tile.
Oh, yeah.
From stabilizing, having to stabilize, and it was, I mean, man, after you're working an 8 to 10 hour shift, your knees would feel like they're going to, like, bend the opposite way, you know.
Your feet would be so rough and calloused they could cut glass.
Yeah. And our shoes would grow spores on them.
Yes.
From all the mold. Yeah.
The soles would become detached just from the water and grease and all sorts of unspoken crap. They would wear down and be your soles would get detached from the rest of the shoe and
yeah.
You know, parts where it would detach would that be a good place for, like you said, mold and stuff to grow and
I think those shoes I wore in backup are still up in my room at my mom's house.
Oh my god.
Those boots? Those Skechers boots?
What kind of fauna must you have growing in there?
At this point, 18-year-old flower spores are probably on those shoes. Yeah, they're up there.
So we were talking about some of the guys that work back there. So the other guy that we talked about, the curly guy that put his mouth on the drainage pipe there. And yeah. The other guy that put his mouth on the drainage pipe, he used to wear this vinyl jacket, this snap jacket. Think like Arn Anderson circa 1989, but this is 2000. and it had a picture of a big rig on the back of it and said cargo on the front.
Yes.
And he looked kind of like a poor man's Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, Coke bottle glasses.
With none of the wit and charm. He was not very bright.
Oh, boy. This guy was a rough customer. He would either A, not show up to work. He'd call in. Or this one time he showed up with two of these flip phones. And these were like the primitive cell phones from like 2001. Where, like, you'd see on, like, the Frasier show where you'd flip them in and you'd have to pull the antenna out and stuff like that. He had one on each, he had a holster on each side of his hip, like he's an outlaw from the Old West. And he walks in there, and it was company policy, you're not supposed to have those cell phones, like, during work. They just didn't want them. And so, like, the manager walks back there, the head manager, and he goes, you can't have those here. What are you doing? This isn't the Old West or something like that. He goes, give me those, outlaw. You get them back when you leave tonight. Don't bring them back. Like that. And the guy got really mad. He was wearing a cowboy hat with a big brooch on the front. dude.
Like he's Merle Haggard or something.
Yeah, he goes, dude, I just got married. Those are wedding presents. Dude, not cool. That's how the guy would talk. And I remember this one time he didn't show up to work, and the next day he finally did. And I go, where were you? And he goes, I stayed at home all day and played my Hammer Slammer bass. And I'm thinking, dude, you can't even tie your own shoes in the morning, let alone play a bass. And he was just, he's a complete jerk. Oh, because he had like a dual gig over at the carriage house. Or the yes. Best Western. It was the Best Western at that point.
He thought he was hot stuff because he had two dishwasher gigs.
Yeah, and he's like, Best Western Christmas party, I hang out with the boss. We did shots and booze.
Yeah, he thought he was a big deal because he was A, hanging out with his boss, and he said, mentioned shots and booze.
He was shots and booze. We did shots and booze.
Which are A, the same thing, and, that was quite the running gag for many, many years. Oh, do shots and booze.
Remember he would get mad and lose his temper? He took an entire case of glasses and threw them across the ditch yes. And smashed them.
He used to lose his temper. He'd lose his temper.
You do an impression of him. It was awesome.
He'd start throwing things around, like slamming things, and moving very quickly. We learned after a while it was almost better to make him mad, because if you made him mad, he'd get mad, he would shut up, and he'd work faster, which
yeah.
is all you really wanted him to do in the first place. So he would just start slamming things around and throwing things. It was awesome.
And Jody had an impression of this guy down pat, and I would lose control laughing because it was so funny. And he'd slam the rack down on the metal work area. And it was like, first time we saw him get set off was when he was taking a break in the middle of the dinner rush, which you should never do. It's like the cardinal sin of restaurant duty. And the manager goes, "What do you think you're doing? Get back out there, bust those tables. You can smoke later," like that. And he got so mad. He comes in, he's slamming the bus tubs down on the rack and everything. Oh, it was hilarious. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and it was like, so you dealt with characters like that, and you have the people come in that would only last like a shift, and then they'd just quit, you know, because it was like...
Yeah, it was a constant rotation of faces.
Yeah, and then there was like some people that... Like, we had some of the servers that worked there. Some of them were really nice, but some of them were, like, complete snobs. And they felt that because they, you know, drove a Mercury Cougar and had, like, you know, they put their mascara on with a trowel, that meant that they were better than us dish people. And it was really funny because some of these people would get all... They acted like they're these professional... Like they're the best in the world, like Jody said. They always thought they were the best. They're in that category of how they thought about themselves, of, like, you know, being, like, serving tables and stuff. And then, like, they would get all stressed out when it got hot and heavy, and you're like, I can't do this. And you'd see them, and they get so worked up that their hands are shaking as they're trying to light a cigarette. Because, again, you could smoke in the break room. It was illegal. It was legal to do that at that point.
It was all about, when is my next cigarette? How long has it been since my last cigarette? And it would get old real quick.
And there was that one guy that couldn't even finish his shift. He'd go, "Case, when can I go home? What do I have to do to go home?" They booked him for a 10 to 2 shift, and he didn't even want to work that.
I forget about that guy. Yeah, he looked like he was like the bassist. He looked like Scott Ian.
He looked like a serial killer.
Yeah, he did.
And he had this long, disgusting, braided goatee thing he could paint toys in the North Pole with. He looked terrible. And I remember that. And then finally, the shift manager, she finally got sick of him. She goes, "That's it? Go home. I don't want to listen to it anymore." And he finally got to go home. He goes, "Yes," like that.
Which is all he wanted in the first place. You're not really teaching that guy anything.
Yeah, it was like, if you don't want to work here, then don't work here. You know, and it was just... We had one guy, he was selling hot merchandise, and he came in one day, and I think he'd only been working there about a week. He came in. This guy was high off of his mind. I don't know what he kind of drug he was doing. But he comes in, he goes, "Hey, you want to buy a watch?" And it was like some kind of like high-end watch. It wasn't a Rolex, but it was an expensive watch. I go, "Nah, no thanks. I don't really wear watches." And you go up to the other guy, "Hey, you want to buy a watch?" And so nobody bought the watch. He went and started his shift. And I don't know what happened. He worked on the grill. But I think they finally figured out what was wrong with him. Like, he was under the influence of something. And they fired him, like, on the spot. Like, "Get out of here. You're a liability." You know, because you could hurt somebody or hurt yourself, and you're not going to do it on our time. And they canned him on the spot. That was it. And he'd only worked there about a week, but it was like my second year working there. And I remember you get some of those, like, servers that come up to the window, because I worked in, like, the dessert area for a little while. And just sometimes they'd have to make their own desserts because I was busy working at two other positions. And so he was making a sundae. She goes, "Ah!" She's trying to put whipped cream on her. "Oh, look at this crap." Like that. She's getting all stressed out. It was it was really funny. And it was just like, it was crazy. Like, some of the stuff that would happen back there.
Now, you mentioned the guy earlier called the Highlander. I think we need to talk about
him. Let's talk about him.
Nicknamed the Highlander. He looked kind of like... If you're a WCW fan, he looked like a lumberjack. He had long hair and a big beard.
Yeah, a lumberjack with no shoulders.
Yeah, doing more of a gut than anything.
Yeah, he wasn't like a manly lumberjack. He was like a Diet Coke version of a lumberjack.
No, he was a regular Coke version of a lumberjack.
Regular Coke.
So we work with this guy, and one of the things, you know, just thinking back, one thing I can remember, he did not wear an undershirt, which always bothered me. Because he would be back there doing dishes in this blue Oxford shirt, which was the uniform at Cracker Barrel, with no undershirt, and he would have, what, at least like the top three buttons unbuttoned on his shirt. So then he got this puff of chest hair.
He was like
out.
A poor man's Kenny Rogers from like Six Pack.
Yeah. It's pretty accurate.
You gotta know when to hold
them. Baker.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, being a bigger fellow with, I'm sure the undershirt wouldn't have made a difference, but that guy always had a constant must to about him.
He's musty. I remember you
Which,
saying
when
that.
I will never forget how musty that man smelled. Because occasionally if you catch a whiff of it somewhere, it takes me back. That guy smelled so bad. He would work up a real must in that dish room. And that must would mix with the steam from the dish, the dishwasher, and would permeate the entire dish room, and it was just, it was too much. It would make you gag. I would rather paw through someone's trash than smell that. You know? I mean, we would go through the grossest of the gross, and that would really set me off. That just musty, musky smell, fat middle-aged man, and it was just something else.
Well, yeah, and he would get out of doing the basic stuff of the job, and he would stack up. He wouldn't wash any silverware; he would leave it for the next shift. And so we had like three of these, like 2-quart aluminum tubs that would sit like against the wall, and you would put like spoons, forks, and knives, you know, just basic cutlery that like the regular customers would use to eat their food. He would pile them up, and he wouldn't wash any silverware at all. He would leave it for the next shift, and he would not run any of it. And it was just like he thought that he was doing this like this smart thing. See, I can just run it all. I can, and they're running out of silverware. And they're like, guys, we need more forks.
Yeah, when you go to a restaurant, most people like silverware. Call me old fashioned.
Yeah.
So Highlander here, you remember. He was always working some sort of angle.
Oh, yeah.
He was working some sort of angle, whether it be, you know, flirting with young waitresses. Hey, Lori, I got a bubble bath here waiting for you. This girl's like 20 years old and smoking hot and wants nothing to do with a middle-aged fat man with a musky smell.
He did not discriminate. Let's just put it that way.
No. No, he did not. He'd tell this girl he had a bubble bath waiting for her, and she, and just kind of walk away and try not to be creeped out by him.
Oh, yeah, he goes, I can have any woman I want. He goes, I can take this lady down right now, have, you know, remember that?
Yes, it was what? It was a middle-aged woman who was not by no means attractive at all.
Missing teeth.
And
yeah.
What were there were of an were of a dark
pieces of
color.
Captain Crunch. Yeah.
And she would, they were what? They were friends. Like, he was friends with her husband or something.
Yeah, it was
something. And he made the comment. He said, I can have any woman I want here. I can have any woman I want. I can throw you down right now and have my way with you. And she kind of blushed and didn't say a word, right?
She had a smile on her face, dude. And she goes, oh.
It was true.
She goes, oh,
it was farce. At least with him, it was true, right?
Yeah.
At least with Highlander, it was true that she's like, well, you know, if push came to shove, then I had to, you know, I guess so.
She wouldn't object. It must have been that carpet sticking out of his Oxford shirt. Remember, he took off his shirt. Remember, he left one day, and remember, he came out of the restaurant. He ripped his shirt right off. And he got in the silver, like, Dodge Caravan. And he goes, hey, Jody, hey, Justin. Like, oh, no, that was when we saw him at Walmart. He goes, hey, guys, I'll see you later. Like that. He rips off his shirt like he's got this really hot physique. He gets in his car, goes, this Dodge Caravan, and goes, and it was like the sound of two pieces of metal rattling in a cage when he turned this thing. It was bad. I mean, it was so bad. And he's all sweaty and stuff. And he tore the shirt off, and he's still wearing the Cracker Barrel hat, and he drove down the street like that.
With no shirt, but
he left the hat on.
You know who he looks like? He looks like a smaller version of Andy from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, like, I can see that.
Simone's boyfriend, Andy. That's who he looks like, but like not a fat version of Andy, and a smaller version of Andy.
But he has that long hair.
Yeah. You know, if he's not working in angle trying to flirt with girls, he's also always trying to sell stuff.
Hey,
I remember one time I was working back there, and he was trying to. He's like, "Hey, you like games? You like computer games? You like Wheel of Fortune? I'll sell you a copy of it. $15.
Yeah,
it was that and this like motorbike game. He's like, I'll sell you a copy of it. $15, 2 for $25.
Yeah, pirated video games.
Yeah, he's just making it. It's a DVD-ROM. He's just making a copy of it. And to get him off my back, I bought him, and I did play him. I always liked Wheel of Fortune, but
yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't that, there was another time I went in there, and he's like, "Hey, do you like rabbits? I guess so. Yeah, I'll sell you some rabbits. What, are you interested in some baby rabbits? I'll sell them to you $10 a piece, 2 for $15. He's always working. Now he's breeding rabbits.
As he's emptying bus tubs. He's doing it as he's working. Yes.
As I remember one time you got, I guess that was the angle with that. And I should mention, we're calling him Highlander because he had a, again, he had a vinyl snap jacket, like, you know, like Arn and Tully Brainbusters.
Yeah.
He had a vinyl snap jacket that said Highlander, the series, on the back that he got. Hey, Rich, where'd you get that jacket?
Yeah, 14 years after the fact, yeah.
I got the entire series on VHS. Like, because at the time, that was one of those things where keep what you want, pay it any time. It was one of those TV offers.
It was a subscription. Yeah.
Yeah. Where they'd send you a VHS tape with like two episodes on it for $14.95.
What a ripoff!
Huge ripoff. But he finished the set. Yeah, I finished the whole set. They sent me this jacket. Well, how much did that cost? Was that like $300 or $400? Yeah, but it was worth it. I got the whole series on VHS.
Yeah, he's a member of the fan club. He's like,
yeah.
He goes, I said I play Phantasy Star Online, you know, for the Dreamcast. He goes, bah, that's not a real game. You know what a real game is? I go, what? He goes, Baldur's Gate. I go, what? Baldur's Gate. And then we got into music, and he asked me what I listened to. I go, you know, I like metal. I like guitar shredding and stuff, and you know, I like a lot of that, like Van Halen and, you know, that kind of stuff. Because, those aren't real bands. You know who is? Moody Blues.
Yeah, no, those guys don't rock. You know what a real rock band is?
Moody Blues. So anytime I hear a Moody Blues song, I think of that gentleman by how ridiculous he is. But he goes, yeah, the one guy, the guy with the glasses and the curly hair told Highlander, he goes, yeah, I've got a computer with an 80 gig hard drive. Like that. This is 2000. People didn't have 80 gig hard drives in 2000.
No.
And he goes, so Highlander goes, is he hear what this guy just told me? He just said he's got an 80 gig hard drive. It's ridiculous. No one has an 80 gig hard drive. This is coming from the guy who's a shyster and selling pirated video games, who's undercutting people and doing very unscrupulous. He accuses this guy of being dishonest.
he once got sent home because he admitted what, he had a shotgun in his car, in his trunk.
I didn't know about that.
Oh, you were the one that told me about it.
Was it really?
Yeah, he got sent home one day because he told somebody he had a shotgun out in his. You know what? I've really had it with that. If I got a shotgun on my truck, I'm gonna go out and grab.
Oh, that's right.
Feel like we need to go home.
Yeah, I remember that now. I was like, "Holy crap! This guy's gonna go postal." And it was like, I think the head manager got on his face and pretty wanted to get his face, but he's like, got in his shorts and said, "Hey, listen, you need to clean this. You need to run the silverware." It was like recalibrating him and telling him, hey, you need to step it up. And that's the thing about a lot of these people is they did not want to be told what to do, and they didn't like being expedited in any way. And that same, the same lady we were talking about, this one day she comes in, and a lot of times we would, she was really slow because she was older, and she just kind of worked real casual. And she goes, oh, I can't take this anymore. I'll be right back. So she leaves, and about 45 minutes later, she comes back. And she goes, oh, I feel so much better. And her, she's wearing a yellow shirt, because you could either wear yellow or light blue. Light yellow or light blue, right?
Or pink. Or pink.
Or
all pastel. I used to wear the pink one. Cause
yeah, I know. I was going to say, you didn't have an issue with that. And
no, I could pull it off.
Yeah.
Oh, I like your pink shirt. Yeah, that's right. Looking.
Yeah, it looked like the yellow one you had looked like the inside of a fry box.
Oh, that yellow one looked terrible.
The blue stripes. Like remember the elbows got all dirty on it, and then you got all pit stained?
I learned not to do that after a while. Like, oh, this yellow looks like it looks like somebody hasn't peed in about 12 hours. It looks gross.
Yeah, it's a nice dark yellow.
Nice gold.
But like this lady comes back, and her sleeve is all wet, and it's got like this red outline around it. I go, what happened to you? She goes, oh, I popped my boil. Feels much better now. She went in the ladies' room and spent 45 minutes popping her friggin' boils on her shoulder. She goes, oh, yeah, it was softball size.
Oh,
I feel so much better now. Oh, so disgusting. And that was pretty gross. Then she left because she got a job working at like a can return center with her husband. Like it was this really hot gig and it was far better money or something like that. She goes, oh yeah, we went out and bought new cars. They weren't new cars. These cars were like,
we went and bought new cars like they won a lottery.
Yeah, she bought this Dodge Intrepid that was like 20 years old that was like all rusted out. And like they're really living the high life so she could quit her Cracker Barrel gig. And like, you know, it's like her daughter was always kind of like bitter and kind of always trying to work an angle too, and she failed miserably at it, and she ended up just quitting. She just walked out.
Her daughter
out.
Was the one that threw up earlier.
Yeah, the Exorcist style vomiting. Yeah,
I always like to mention. So her daughter, this, you know, like you said, this is like 2002, 2003, whatever. Her daughter left. I would say.
Well, that was after I was there until August of 2002, and then I quit.
Was she still there then?
No.
So. I quit in 2015. Two weeks before I quit, she came back and was there for the last 2 weeks. And I was so happy to see her because it was literally like full circle. I'm like, I came in one day and she was standing there and I go, what are you doing here? Like, I could have hugged her because I'm like, do you have any, I'm just thinking to myself, do you have any idea how many times the story of you throwing up in the dish room has been told? It's been told hundreds of times. And here you are. I never thought I'd see you again.
See a celebrity.
And here you are in the flesh. You were here when I started. You're going to be here when I'm gone. Like, you can't. It was like the circle of life. It was literally like, it was very poetic for me. I loved it.
Oh, brother.
No, it was.
Oh,
like,
boy.
What are the chances? Oh, shut up. Shut up. You bite me. Anyway, what are the chances? Like, there are thousands of people that work there. What are the chances that one of these people that you have told, you have impersonated, you have told stories about them for years, for decades, comes back?
Decades, you say?
Decades! It had been a decade since I'd seen her. What are the chances she comes back 2 weeks before I leave? Just so I could see her again and be like, I'm going to talk about this for the rest of my life. It was the circle of life. It had gone full circle. It was awesome. And then I found out, I asked somebody, like, is she still work here? Oh, God, no. She left right after you did. They're like, well, I was glad to have shared the restaurant with her one last time.
Well, I ended up working in the backup area, and I had like a chef coat with 3 stars on it, and I should have had 4, but I got shafted.
Now the star system, that was more of a. Now should we wrap it up? Should we save this for another week?
we could do a second installment of this, but I will say I will cap this off with two funny stories. The first one was an incident where there was a big slice of fudge. A big slice of fudge. Someone had taken a bite out of it and left it in the cooler, and there were teeth marks in it. And the manager found it and said, as soon as I find out who owns these teeth marks, they're going to pay.
Like, he's going to take it to the lab.
Yeah, they got a forensic lab. In Lebanon, Tennessee, they're going to send it down there. And it was just really funny. And then that same person was guilty, I think, of drinking chocolate milks, stealing chocolate milks and drinking them and leaving empty cartons in the walk-in cooler. The little chocolate milks that you'd... the pints. And... because they would have them up front under the counter for the servers to take them up for, like, breakfast and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And this person would steal them and drink them. Just petty people that we worked with. The other one involved me, where... we had this device where you would put it up on the wall, and gravity, it had a valve, and you'd put this bag of ketchup in it, and gravity would, when you'd open the valve, it would dump ketchup out, so you could put on, like, a meatloaf before you throw it in the oven, right?
Yeah, it was like for lack of a better term, almost like a spigot.
It had a valve.
You pull it forward, right. It had like a valve. You'd shut it off, you'd turn it on. You put it on your meatloaf, it would pour it on there, and, you know, you'd shut it off, and that was enough.
Right, and so I had been working a long day, and I wasn't thinking right, so I decided, well, I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to put this bag of ketchup in the holder while it's still on the wall. And you should never do that. You're always supposed to take it down and do it on the table so that you're not going to it risks spilling something or bumping the valve or whatever. Oh, I know what it was. So I put the bag in there, and I tried to puncture the seal of where the ketchup comes out with there's a special kind of nozzle that goes on there. Well, I did that, and the force of the ketchup coming out of the bag was so great, it shot ketchup all over the place. It got all over the floor. All over the table.
It was all over that table, that mixing table that you make biscuits and cornbread on, and it was, like, no joke, it was, like, 2 to 3 inches thick.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
That table was, like, a 3x3 table. Like, it was not a small table.
Yeah, yeah.
It was as big as my dining room table.
Right.
And, it was 2 to 3 inches thick. It was an entire gallon of ketchup.
Right, $50 worth of ketchup, and they would get cases... Two $50 bags of ketchup. They come in a silver bag from, like, Heinz or whatever.
Right.
And they were expensive.
Like, you only got two bags at a time. So if something like that happens, you are in trouble because you have
right.
no ketchup for the meatloaf for the rest of the week.
So I panicked.
You came back up to get me. We were both cooks at the time. I was as well. We'd moved up in the world. You were so scared. Jody, you gotta help me. You gotta help me.
It was bad. It looked like a murder scene back there.
It was really bad.
Well, because the manager was doing inventory, and he put that brown jacket on and was going in and out of the freezer. Dude, if he would have caught that, I would have been streamlined.
And our general manager, he was tough but fair, but he was an old military man.
He was an ex-Navy SEAL. This guy could snap your neck like a twig.
And he was, he would not have been happy about that.
He was a frog man. He was, this guy is someone you didn't want to screw with. So what ended up happening is that one of the shift managers, like, she's laughing, and she's like, okay, we got squeegees, and squeegeed it off the table.
Yeah, she was okay. She was very calm. Okay. And she helped you get rid of it before he saw it.
She totally saved my bacon. And I had, he goes, what happened over here? Everything okay? She goes, oh, yeah, we're doing okay. We had a little accident. And he comes over to the garbage can. He looks down, not too bad, huh? Like that. She had thrown a bunch of stuff over the ketchup. She goes, oh, no, it wasn't bad at all. Yeah, a whole bag gone. And I moved the flavor saver that stood on that table. There was a whole column of ketchup underneath. And I had put my back to it so he didn't see it. And, that was close. But everything was fine, and I had always respected the woman after that. Because she wasn't one of my favorite people to work with, but after that, I was like, hey, this lady's okay, you know, she's pretty nice. And it was just really, it was really funny. But remember that lady that worked in prep, and she wore those black spandex pants, and she'd always have a white handprint on her butt, like someone had flour on their hand would slap her on the butt every shift.
Yeah, because it was a very bulbous rear end.
Yeah,
very wide, and yeah, there was a lot of zip code there to cover, and yeah, they were always very tight pants, and somebody like every time she was using a big white mark right there on that rump.
I think I know who it was. I think it was the New York Classic. It was either Shipwreck or it was the New York Classic. Either one of those two.
We have to speak in code for all this.
Yeah. We had code names for everybody.
We did.
And
Shipwreck
there was
looked like Shipwreck from G.I. Joe.
Yep, and there was Wet Fart in the Shower. She was a big Marilyn Manson fan.
As Justin said, her butt looks like a wet fart in the shower. Which I didn't know what that meant, but I knew exactly what that meant.
Yeah. Pretty flabby. And there was I'm trying to think, we should really save these for like another installment, because guys, there's so much to tell. We're not even scratching the surface.
Yeah, you're talking about the Navy SEAL guy. There's plenty of stories with him. And
I would like to say I respected him a lot, Jody, and he was actually a cool guy to work for, because he treated you like one of his kids after you had been there long enough, and he trusted you because you did a good job. I miss the guy. He's since passed away, and I was really sad when he died. And
me too.
Very respectable guy, because if you could win that guy over, that was an accomplishment.
Yeah,
you could be proud of yourself.
If you were a lousy employee or a lousy person, he had no time for you. But if you were proved yourself to him, I guess, then he had all the time in the world for you. And
He knew who the legit people were, and he respected people that weren't liars and cheats, and like you said, and he looked out for you.
Right.
And
if you basically screwed him over, or you decided to go get another job, he took it personal.
He did.
Get another job, if you're going to work at Applebee's instead, you take that personal. But if you're going to, if you're stepping up in the world and you're going to get, a better job, then that he took pride in that. Like, hey, you know, this was a stepping stone on a way to better things. If you were that, he would really enjoy. He would like to see that people had moved up in the world. He really took pride in that.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm gonna say his name, because he's a cool guy. Terry Waters was a really, really cool guy, and he taught me a lot of lessons about like you're talking about stepping up and everything. He would tell me small snippets of stuff, and as far as saving your money, and you know, as you go up this bracket, then you're here, and then you save your money, and then such and such. Because the guy had a house that was like a colonial house, very impressive. But the guy was a hard worker, and he. If you gave him the time of day and you really he would tell you all kinds of cool stuff, and he was just I miss him a lot. He was a cool guy, and I didn't leave because I left because I was moving over to Washington State, and he was really sad to see me leave. But he'd always tell Jody hey, tell him he's still a goober. You know, he'd tell Jody to tell me that, and it was just really cool. He was one of the only guys that. From Cracker Barrel, they actually would come up to me and say hi and stuff. And another guy that we worked with, we'll save it for part two, but he was a teddy bear of a guy, and I don't know if he's still around, but I know he got really ill. But there were some people that worked at Cracker Barrel that were they had hearts of gold, and they were just really cool people, and they're the kind of people that you never forget about, and that even if you had some bad times working there, it all those were pale to comparison to all the fun, good times you had, because that was a second home for us.
Right.
We were there more than we were at our own houses at certain points.
Sure.
And it was, I can honestly tell you, it's probably the best place I've ever worked at, even though I'm a lot older now, and you know, I make far more money than I ever did there, but it mm-hmm. was like the people you dealt with, and
right,
you were dealing with people that were, we were all kind of in the same boat as far as like money and the weather being really bad, just having a car that wouldn't always work out for you, you know, just trying to make ends meet. And we were all kind of in that because we're all from that part of the state, and it's a hard place to live. And the fact that we found people that could push through that and still have a good time and enjoy each other's company was pretty cool, because we hung out with a lot of those people outside of work.
Yeah, at that time we did, yeah.
Yeah, at that time.
The work stunk, but the people were great.
Exactly, made up for it. And they would step in and help you out if they could. And right. It was just really hard because, like, everybody got slammed. And, you know, and especially, like, when you're... Jody and I were, like, really young kids, you know. It was like... It was like... We learned a lot of lessons from people that were, like, 30-plus that were like, wow, you know, I won't make that mistake when I get that age.
Sure, I don't want to be here when I'm 30.
Well, or just, like, they get involved with drugs or... Right. Remember that there was a one gal that got arrested on site. She skipped a court date, and I think she was forging prescriptions for people. And the cops cuffed her and brought her out the back of the restaurant.
I thought you were referring to the one that got caught shoplifting cigarettes from the convenience store next door.
Was that the little short lady with the glasses?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's what she was doing. That's what it was. Yeah. But Jody and I have seen everything after working there.
And I'm sure you can attest to this, too. It was the type of job that ultimately I was very glad I had. Because if I don't know how things would have turned out differently if I hadn't worked there, but it was the type of job that, excuse me, the type of job that showed me what hard work really was. And I don't know if I would have gotten that any other way. It was the type of job that you got in there and you're like, wow, I'm working my butt off for no money, and I'm a better person because of it. I really appreciate the time I spent here because I realize, hey, things could be worse, you know? It was a rough job, but the people made it bearable, and it just, I don't know. It's always shaped my work ethic.
Well, the thing was like, they would shut down on, like, the only day we ever got off was Christmas, as far as, like, the place would close, right? But, like, they would close early on Christmas Eve, and we would do a special, like, employee thing. And wasn't it late? Yeah, it was later that day. All the employees would come in on Christmas Eve, and they would do, like, a pie-eating contest, or they'd do...
No, that was always a couple weeks prior.
Was it a couple weeks prior? Well, yeah. I remember
But they did close early on Christmas Eve, and that was the only time of the year that they would.
My memories are starting to get muddled of what they did.
Oh, sure, things. Sure.
But we'll get into more stuff like in another episode, because there's so much to tell. I mean, but I just want to throw that out there. You know that our manager was a really cool guy, and we both learned a lot from him, and you know. You know, take the time to talk to someone who's got more knowledge than you, because you can, it's, drop the ego and actually listen, you know, and you'd be like, you know, it'll be experience like Jody and I had where it's like, hey, I'm glad I did that, because it's, I don't know.
Well, I worked there for almost 10 years after he left, and I worked for a lot of other people, and it really made you appreciate.
Yeah.
Once you had, it really made you appreciate when you have good leadership and good people. Like, it's kind of like you know, we're wrapping this up, but, you know, kind of like you said, when you got a, like, a good job from him, it really meant something, because you knew, he didn't give those out all the time.
No, he's a tough grade. He's a tough grade.
Yep.
Well, I guess, guys, that's going to wrap it up, and hopefully you guys enjoy hearing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know if you enjoyed it. Let us know if you hated it, so we don't plan for a part two sometime down the road.
Right, and we were doing this because we had a couple of folks hint that, hey, we should do this. So that's why we're doing this episode.
Exactly. We had talked about this literally, I think, since the first episode. So it was finally time. a year and a half later, it was finally time to get some of the stories out there, and hopefully, you know, if you're listening to this and you work there, hey, we'd love to hear your memories as well.
Yeah, and keep the names to yourself.
Yeah, please. Exactly. If you're going to besmirch somebody, please.
Yeah.
We did our best, I think, here to kind of keep, you know, not bury anybody too much, not to try to put anybody down, because you never know.
It's water under the bridge. I mean, this is stuff that's 17 years after the fact.
Right.
Yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed this, and Jody, I don't have any plugs. Do you have any plugs? I have the usual plugs. Check out the McSauce podcast. Those guys got great stuff they're doing, and their Star Wars stuff lately has really... I've seen some of the responses from you, Jody, on the Twitter page to what they've been putting out there, and...
Great stuff.
Yeah, and it's really stirring the pot, and... Not drawing our ire, but overturning the rocks that is the Star Wars universe right now.
Well, they have a 4-hour, 4-part review on Star Wars The Last Jedi. That is the most comprehensive, I'm going to almost say accurate, I guess I could probably come up with a fancier word, but the most analytically... I don't know. I guess I can't think of what I'm trying to say here, but
leave no stone unturned.
That's a great way to put it. Thank you. They leave no stone unturned, and they've given it a lot of thought, and they've put up a lot of great points, things I hadn't considered, things I'd overlooked, and yeah, maybe I don't like the movie so much as I thought I liked it the first time.
It's a rough sell.
They bring up a lot of points that are hard to argue.
Yeah, I'll stand by my C+ rating I gave episode 8 on the last episode of Case in Point. Check out A Fireside Chat with Ryan McCormick. He was on our last episode, episode 25. He's a funny guy, great storyteller, so definitely check him out. And he will be returning back on this show. And we'll be starting a wrestling podcast at some point. So just to be able to have a separate forum to really dig into the meat of classic wrestling and some of the current stuff that's going on.
Well, I just wanted to quickly add to our t-shirt shop at tpublic.com with just all you got to do is search for Case in Point or Justin Case, and you will see our two designs up there. The Miami Vice-esque design and our alternate Next Generation logo, and I've ordered a couple of shirts with the Miami Vice logo on it. They look great, and if you want to help support the show, that would be a great way to do it.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, and also, you know, catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitter, Facebook. I'm at KitCar83. Jody is at... Jody, what's your handle on Twitter?
RegalFan, of course.
RegalFan. And then we have the Case in Point podcast Facebook page. So, check us out. And we'll catch you guys next time.